Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the day I won't pick up, just for the day I don't give up, just for the day I won't pick up, and God I trust I won't pick up, just for the day I won't pick up, just for the day and God I trust, just for the day I won't pick up, and God I trust I don't give up. Yo, you can go and tell the weed man, he ain't got nothing that I need, man. I ride by that ABC store saying, hey, you won't be seeing me no more. Yo, you can go and tell the trap boy, yo, it's a rap boy. You are not welcome in me, casa. You ain't got nothing for me, nada. No matter how hard life hits, I know where my life is. Yo, no matter how hard the crisis, yo, I know who Christ is. Yo, no matter what I won't pick up. Yo, no matter what I won't pick up. No matter what I won't pick up. Yeah, no matter what I won't pick up. Just for the day. No matter what I won't pick up.
Welcome, listeners, to the Recovery Just for Today show. I'm your host with my co-host and father, Lloyd B. And, you know, today we are thankful to be on the air with Wynn Radio. And, you know, today is a day that we're going to try to wrap up a series that we've been working on. It's a, you know, it's a tough series, you know, because it's one that a lot of people don't really want to look at the epidemic that's going on. This generation is, destroying lives, you know, and leaving families devastated, you know, and that's drug overdoses. You know, drug-related deaths due to overdose. And, you know, we've been talking about this topic. We touched on it, you know, about a week or so ago. And we're going to try to finish up this series and try to share some information that might save some lives, just to, you know, kind of touch on the awareness part of this thing. And but I'm excited about the show. This is Lloyd B. This is the Recovery Just for Today show, and I co-host this show with my father, Lloyd Senior. So you know, did you want to say something to the listeners, Lloyd Senior?
Yes, I want to say good evening to all of the those who are out there who are listening to us by talk radio, blog talk radio. I'm eternally grateful to be, as we say, on the right side of this on the God's earth today, this evening, and I'm eternally grateful to have a chance to come out and come up here and just share some of my ideas and my thoughts about the epidemic of drug addiction, addiction or addiction period, to the listening audience out there. I was my eyes were open last week as I listened to some of the my eyes and ears that is were open as I listened to some of the statistics that Lloyd B put out there a week before last about the overdose problem going on around the country. And so tonight I'm equally as anxious to listen and hear more and maybe be able to share something to help somebody today. So all I want to do is to be able to help somebody, give my little input and share what the little that I know, and in hopes that it will help somebody along the way.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it the other day. You know, some people, you know, they tune you out if they don't think that you have anything to offer by way of qualifications and things of that nature, you know. And that would be a sad thing if someone, you know, tuned in and felt, you know, some kind of way that we weren't qualified to speak on this, you know, this topic, you know. And, you know, what I can tell you is that both my father and I have, you know, have been at one time in our life caught up in the grips of addiction, you know. Today, by the grace of God, you know, we celebrate, you know, probably close to 30 years, of sobriety and recovery, you know. I know I've been clean going on 13 years now. And I know my father, he's been clean. How long, Dad?
We're looking at probably going on 21 years, I believe. I think I took my last drink and my last drug, smoked my last cigarette. It was around or about 9:30 or so, New Year's Eve, 1997.
Okay.
Threw my cigarettes in the bushes and put my beer and whatnot in a trash can and flushed my drugs down the toilet stool, and I thank God that I haven't had the taste or the desire to pick up those items since then. So we're looking at about 21 years. And let me add this very quickly. I heard you say that, you know, people may get turned off, that we may not have the expertise or experience to talk on this subject. But I will say this, is that I OD plenty of times. See, now it wasn't a fatal overdose, of course, because I wouldn't be sitting here talking tonight on the Blog Talk Radio. But anytime you get too much of whatever it is in your system, you overdose. I mean, just technically speaking, that's an overdose. So I'm just grateful tonight to be able to be alive, to be able to share something tonight. So I think speaking for myself, I know I've overdosed several times, so I think I beg to differ with anyone who might have a problem with us, especially myself, that is. So I just want to throw that in there. If that made any sense, hopefully it did. That little caveat in there.
Yeah, and you know the other thing is, not only has, you know. Have both of us been clean, and I, like you said, that's you know, well over 30 years put together, you know, and you know, but you know, like you said, by the grace of God, you know, there go I, you know, because either one of us could have been, you know, not here today, you know, based on the fact of what we did when we were in active addiction and how we used and like you said, you know, most of the time. You know, we weren't using, you know, to be, you know, we were using to, you know, get what they, you know, what they would say is, you know what I mean? We were, you know, drinking and using and smoking and taking drugs, not at a prescribed, you know, dosage, you know, and even if it was a prescription drug that we ever got our hands on and we're trying to use it high. You know, we definitely were not taking it at the proper dosage. You know, I know I wasn't, you know. You know, if I was given a prescription drug and they told me that I couldn't, you know, drink my alcohol with it, you know, either one or two things happened. You know, either I didn't take the medication or either I tried my luck with the medication as well as the alcohol, you know, because I was going to have the alcohol. You know, That wasn't even part of the equation. You know, whether or not I was going to take the other medication. Now that was another question. You know, so you know, there were times, like you said, you know, that by the grace of God, you know, I'm still here. But I may have, you know, I know I've overdosed, you know what I mean? And I know I've ended up in hospital, you know, with alcohol poisoning and, you know, all types of things, you know what I mean? So, but that particular, just in general, I just want to let people know that we, you know, not only have experience in what we're, the subject that we're talking about, you know, personal experience. We have experience with family members. We have experience through training and you know, as far as helping people, whether that's on the spiritual, mental, and emotional side, whether that's through ministerial counseling, whether that's through you know, addictions counseling, like myself. I'm in school for that now, pursuing, you know, my doctorate right now. Well, my second master's actually, but you know, so you know, I just want to let people know that yes, I do, we do know of what we're talking about, but at the same time, we just don't go around and try to, you know, flaunt any type of like degrees or anything that we have, anything like that. That's not what we're coming just to share our experience, strength, and hope. That's what this whole show is about. So if you have tuned in and you're looking for, you know, someone to trial you with their degrees and accomplishments in the field of addiction, you may need to tune in somewhere else, because we're not going to go there. We just want to share our experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully what we have to say may save someone's life. But as we do each show, I do want to get started with a moment of silence, because we did get a little carried away. But you know, let's have a moment of silence for the still suffering addict, for the addict who hasn't found their way to recovery. You know, for the addict who may have lost their life to this addiction, and to the family members. For the family members who have lost loved ones to this addiction, let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
Amen.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have a couple of clips we want to play, and we're going to, you know, kind of recap a little bit of some of the things we talked about in the last show, and, you know, kind of try to close out this particular show. Because, like I said, you know, we've been talking about drug overdose and more specifically drug-related deaths due to drug overdoses or deaths due to drug-related overdoses. And it's not just one particular drug that we really are talking about, even though most of the stuff that you hear, it may talk about some type of opiate or opioid, you know, because right now, you know, the heroin is really taking people out of here. But you know, I was reading and watching and have in my research, I found that, you know, the drug dealers are actually getting to the point to where they, you know, they've gotten kind of scared, you know, and so a lot of them drug dealers are trying to sell some of this cocaine, you know. And doing so, the cocaine is actually starting to the cocaine overdoses have started to climb, because at one time, you know, the cocaine overdoses deaths had went down, and but now they're starting to climb back up, because, you know, people are trying to shy away from the heroin because it's killing people so fast, you know. You know, people are trying to shy away from it and kind of substitute. But, you know, it's sad, but, you know, it, you know, it's really when you're caught up in the grips like that, there's no, really nowhere to run as far as when I say there's nowhere to run, I mean there's no other drug to run to, if that makes sense. But, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and get back into the show, and we'll have a couple of clips, and then we'll talk a little more. So just hold on, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Lloyd B. And I am the host of Recovery Just for Today, which is a show dedicated to those who are struggling with addiction and substance abuse. I host the show with my father, Lloyd B. Sr. And together, we come and we share our experience, strength, and hope. Every Monday at 8 p.m., join us as we air live on WIN Radio, which stands for We Inspire Network. If you or your loved one suffers from addiction, or you know someone who is in recovery, please share this information, because you never know when what you have to share may actually save someone's life. Thank you, and God bless you.
Just for the day I won't pick up, just for the day I don't give up, just for the day I won't pick up, and God I trust I won't pick up, just for the day I won't pick up, just for the day and God I trust, just for the day I won't pick up, and God I trust I don't give up. Yeah, you can go and tell the weed man, he ain't got nothing that I need, man. I ride by that ABC store saying, hey, you won't be seeing me no more. Yeah, you can go.
All right, welcome back to the Recovery Just for Today show. I'm your host, Lloyd B., with my co-host and father, Lloyd Sr. And, you know, we've been talking about drug overdoses. This is part two. And, you know, the last show, we spoke about the drug overdose deaths and the opioid involved deaths that has skyrocketed, you know, and it continues to increase in the United States. And actually just in our society and nation, is the deaths from drug overdoses are up both among men, women, and actually all races. In all ages. So, you know, some of the information that I found, you know, it's hitting every area that you can think of, every pocket of society that you can think of, you know, the upper class, the lower class, you know, the suburbs, the rural areas, you know, it's an epidemic, you know. And so basically, regardless of the type of drug, the problem of drug overdose has tripled and quadrupled in some cases, and since 1999 to the present. So that's why we're talking about this. I mean, it's you know, the this problem has grown so much that you know, and you know, when it starts to reach in your backyard and knock on your door, you know, it's too late. You know what I mean? It's too late to get involved. You know what I'm saying? You know, then you're getting involved after the fact, but then you've already lost someone, you know. Did you have anything to say before I go to the...
Yeah, I was listening earlier to you. You were talking about people, they maybe maybe stop using selling heroin, and then people are going to like using cocaine, and you know, and really, I was thinking to myself, I think you said it. You can't run. You know, you get in trouble trying to run from one drug to another, trying to find a safe dosage. You used the terminology before, dosage. So that's what we're talking about. You know, we're taking dosages of whatever it is we're taking. Okay, so it comes to a point to where, you know, we think in our mind that we're always looking for a safe amount to take, you know. But we cross that threshold somewhere in life, I don't know where it is, in our usage, or we experiment with certain things or whatever, you know, we get a buzz or whatever, you know. Then we go to that next level of, I guess, you know, addiction, eventually go to addiction. So what I'm saying is there's no threshold. There's no going back, I think, to finding a safe dosage, because I think that's what we mess up at. You know, that's what we get into the overdose thing, really. You know, trying to find a safer dosage. There is no safer dosage.
Yeah, and that's
once you cross the line. That's what I'm trying to say. Once you cross that line, there is no going back trying to find a safer dosage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
That's true. You
kind
know,
of sounded good when I was thinking about it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and a lot of times, you know, people think that they can substitute, but, you know, like you said, once you get caught up in the grips, you know, and you have, you know, crossed over from a social, you know, a social drinker, you know, and your tolerance has grown, and you become dependent. Once you get into, you know, chemical dependency, once you start to become dependent on the drug, and you don't care what the consequences are of your drug usage, and you continue to use regardless of the consequences, you know, you're in a stage of addiction or substance use that is very, very dangerous. And I'll just leave it at that. But you know, let me go ahead and start with this clip. We're gonna go into a clip, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about it. So y'all check this clip out.
There's a downside to it, and only need to use it when they're in pain. But there will always be a certain percentage who are deeply impressed by the good feeling that opiates give them. Those people, if they're not careful, may find themselves pursuing that feeling.
And then what happens is they become addicted, and then if they end up not being able to get that medication, they'll turn to heroin,
which is a cheaper form of
the same type of substance.
Evan Barlow began experimenting with opiates in his teens, becoming completely addicted from age 16 to 20.
Eventually, pills weren't enough. And I eventually found heroin, then I eventually found the needle,
which was my downfall.
So Jamie doesn't want to come over here?
Hannah Newsom's life was all late nights and parties when she began to abuse prescription pain pills. When those became harder to get, her friends began using heroin instead.
First, I was like, no, there is no way in the world that I'm going to do that. And eventually, you know, pills weren't around and I was sick. So I tried it. I was maybe like 85 pounds, 90 pounds. My body was shutting down. I was sick all the time. No matter how much heroin I did, I was still sick. And then that was the start of the end.
My son is a heroin addict. And he has fallen out, and I can't wake him up. And I don't know what's wrong with him.
As demand increases, some dealers may add other substances to make the heroin more appealing to users. One such substance is fentanyl, a powerful painkiller, often prescribed to cancer patients. The intent is to create a more intense high, but it often leads instead to abrupt death.
I can't feel anything.
He's not breathing?
I can't feel anything coming out of his nose.
And fentanyl is a very strong painkiller, so it kind of like slows your heartbeat and you're breathing down to almost nothing. With that on top of the heroin, people just expire because they just, their heart stop beating and their lungs stop functioning.
And in Richmond, for example, the heroin was mixed with a horse tranquilizer. So heroin alone is deadly, but when you mix it with a substance like fentanyl, a painkiller, you don't stand a chance.
Some overdoses, if their friends and family react quick enough, they can be saved. But a lot of them, with the fentanyl cases, we're finding that even with quick reaction, they still passing away.
I think my friend just overdosed on heroin.
He's unconscious?
Yeah.
Still, despite warnings and news stories about the presence of dangerous additives, addicts in search of a bigger high are still willing to take the risk.
And unfortunately, on the streets, if you have a heroin out there that overdoses and kills somebody, for some strange reason, more people want it.
People will be shocked by someone who dies of an overdose when I just see it and I keep, and I'm like, well, it happened again, like, because
it happens all the time.
Users who somehow avoid a fatal overdose are lucky not to face death, but they say what they're left with isn't much of a life.
I wasn't really living at all. I was dead inside. I was just walking around getting high every day. I had no purpose. I had no place on this planet to be anything. I was just a shell, and I would just use every day.
As their use of the drug increases, many don't realize the gravity of the situation until they begin to suffer the consequences of their dependency on the substance.
In other words, getting in trouble with the law, beginning to violate their own moral code, having to tell lies, having to hide their problem, having to steal from and deceive the people that they care about.
Everything in my life revolved around it. I didn't care about anything else. I stole from my family, from my friends, from stores, from anybody that had anything that the dope man would trade me for drugs.
With desperate users resorting to theft to pay for their habit, and ruthless sellers often using violence and gang activity to protect their profits, the heroin problem affects everyone in the Commonwealth.
And so we have an epidemic, and the epidemic has led to a lot of people whose lives have been ruined and to a lot of people who have died.
Too many Virginians are losing their loved ones to heroin and prescription drug overdoses. I don't want to see another parent bury a child, or another child to lose a parent to these dangerous drugs.
The problem is particularly evident in Hampton Roads, where the region's coastal location makes it particularly appealing to traffickers.
It's centralized. You can get drugs coming in from the ports, coming from Miami, and people from New York, people from out West Kentucky, West Virginia, would come here to meet.
And we're on the Intercoastal Waterway, which goes from New York to Florida, and a lot of drug drop-offs are done at various spots throughout the port.
And while a lot of that product is merely changing hands for distribution elsewhere, it is also contributing to a growing drug problem in Hampton Roads.
This heroin epidemic, just in this book alone, for the cases I've worked over the last 3 years, we're almost to more than 50 deaths that I've investigated myself just off of heroin.
The surge in heroin deaths caught the attention of the Virginia Attorney General's office, setting off an intense investigation in the region.
Prescription drug abuse often leads to a path of addiction and to the cheap and potent heroin that we're seeing on the streets today.
The deaths aren't limited to hardened, long-time drug users living in drug houses or back alleys.
You wouldn't imagine the areas that you get these drug overdoses at, because they're not your typical ghetto, for example, neighborhood, or your project complex neighborhood.
Okay. So there you have it. A lot of the stuff that we said, we were just saying, you know, they had that same They were saying the same thing in that special. So they at the end, they were talking about Hampton Roads there. You there?
Yeah, you cut out on me. You were saying the last I heard was you said something about Hampton Roads.
Yeah, I was saying, you know, what did you think, you know, when they started talking about Hampton Roads?
Well, that's hitting home. That's where I was born. That's where I was born and raised. And that's where I raised. You know, I raised my family and. I make my living, you know, Hampton Roads. All my ties are to Hampton Roads. I mean, I have family on the East and West Coast, but majority of my life and my family and my, you know, my experience and stuff is in Hampton Roads. And you know, it's kind of startling. It's frightening to, you know, to really realize, you know, that we're living in the hub of this. You know, this thing, and it's hitting home, man, you know.
Yeah, I was, you know, when I was listening to it, I was like, wow, you know, that is definitely hitting home. You know, like you said, you know, I'm from Hampton, too, in case you guys didn't know. And you know, I mean, I've lived in Richmond myself, you know, and, you know, a lot of areas that they were talking about, you know, kind of familiar with some of those areas. So, you know, and like I said, you know, a lot of my family, my cousins and, you know, and you know, siblings, you know, living at the Tidewater area, you know, so, you know, and but like he said, you know, it's not just one area, you know, it's not just Hampton Roads. You know, if you continue to listen to that special, you'll see that, you know, it's hitting, you know, every, you know, area, you know what I'm saying, of Virginia and, you know, in states alike, you know, all of the, you know, the states alike. You know, I was watching, it was talking about how, you know, it was such a big epidemic in Canada, you know, and, you know, just, I mean, nationwide and, you know, abroad, you know, so, you know, what's the answer? You know, people are asking, you know, especially family members, you know, because I'm going to tell you now, you know, a majority of us who have been caught up in the grips of addiction, when we are in the grips of addiction, we're not asking what the problem is. I'm going to tell you that now. We're not asking, you know, hey, what's the problem? Why are people dropping like flies? You know, that's not what we're asking when we're caught up in the grips. You know, most people, you know, especially, you know, those who are very, very, you know, far gone into the, you know, stages of addiction, you know, some people are asking, well, where did they get that from? You know, where did they get that stuff from? You know, they want the strongest, you know, stuff that they can get their hands on so that they can, you know, they can get as high as they can. And, you know, it's sad, but that's true. And we talked about that last, you know, week. But, you know, one of the other things we talked about was that, you know, there are, it's like they said on that clip, you know, Attorney General and, you know, places like the CDC and you know, people getting involved, you know, and high ranking officials, you know, because this thing is, you know, it's killing people like crazy, you know, people's life expectancies are going down, you know, because of these drugs and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like, you know, people in high, you know, high ranking officials are getting involved and they're like, you know, what can we do? And so, you know, yeah. What we had mentioned last week was that, you know, what some people don't know is that there are amnesty laws, there are Good Samaritan laws, you know, that have been in place, been passed, you know, bills have been passed, you know, in various states, and you need to know what your state's amnesty laws are or Good Samaritan laws are. You know, because what happens is people are dying out there because people won't call. They won't call for help. They won't call the ambulance. They won't call for an ambulance. They won't call for, you know, a paramedic. You know, they won't call, you know, 911 to see if, you know, if somebody could get some help. And people are dying. Right. You know?
Right.
And
that was definitely startling when you informed me about that on last week, the week before last, about the Good Samaritan law, you know, it's worth its weight in gold. I mean, if you just like you just said, you're talking about a matter of life and death. You know, people are dying because they may not be aware of that. You know, my God, you know, you should at least call the paramedic. You know, if you're not gonna, you know, stay on scene, you can at least call the paramedic. But through and by this law, you can call the paramedic and stay there, you know, and you won't have to worry about being taken to jail or something, you know. But as you were talking earlier, what ran across my mind is that see because what we're talking about tonight, folks, is the tail end of this thing, this addiction thing. This is one of the final results of addiction. You know, we talk about jail, you know, we talk about losing everything, we talk about jail, institution, and graveyard. So we're talking about the tail end of this thing. So I was thinking to myself that, you know, we really need, you know, you're talking about what do we do, you know, what's the answer. I think we need to really heavily invest in prevention on the front end of this thing, tack this thing on the front end. That is, I'm talking about, you know, and hey, man, let's get real. Why don't we just start talking about this thing in grade school, man? You know, not grade, like kindergarten, man. You know what I mean? Start really getting real and talking about this and teaching this thing, you know, because what, listen, I may be crazy, but what good is it to educate a person, you know, from kindergarten all the way up to college and on and on and on, and educate them, and then they lose their life over you know, lose their life to a drug. Why not let's invest on the front end and get these kids and be honest, open and honest about these kids with you know, about this thing before they get you know, hooked up into it, you know. I think early education about this thing needs to be, I mean, all hands on deck. I'm talking about from the White House all the way down to my house, to the church house, you know. I'm beginning to teach a little bit now, so you better catch me with me here. But I'm really getting excited about this, you know. We need to get a grip on this thing on the front end, Lord, because right now, you know, what we're talking about is the back end. And the back end, it looks pretty bad, dude. According to the clip and according to things you talked about, you know. But I'm going to go ahead and let you go for talk because I don't want to begin to babble and not to make any sense. But, you know, we have to start looking at this thing from, you know, from day one.
No, you're right. You know, and I'm gonna play a real quick clip, and then I'm gonna touch on what you said. But let me play this clip real quick.
Absolutely.
Shocking numbers out of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. From 1999 to 2015, the number of people who died from drug overdoses tripled. RT's Trinity Chavez has more.
Drug overdose deaths are increasing across the nation, but a new report from the CDC highlights recent trends in drug overdose deaths, and what they found may shock you. The CDC found that more than 16 out of every 100,000 Americans died of a drug overdose in 2015, compared to just over 6 in 1999. Almost half of these deaths were caused by heroin and other opioids. Dr. Caleb Alexander, a co-director for the Johns Hopkins Center for Drug and Safety and Effectiveness, said, "Each year, I think it's hard to imagine it getting much worse, and yet last year, we had the highest number of deaths on record." But it has, and the numbers only continue to grow. Drug overdose deaths increased from 1999 to 2015 in all age groups, but adults between the ages of 45 and 54 had the highest death rate in 2015. The data shows that overdose deaths have risen among whites at the rate of about 7% each year, compared to with 2% a year for blacks and Hispanics. The rate of fatal overdoses for whites in 2015 was nearly 3.5 times the rate it was in 1999. Fatal overdoses are becoming so common in the U.S. that they're driving down the average life expectancy of white Americans. Dr. Edwin Salsitz of Mount Sinai Health System here in New York City said life expectancy of whites in America is going down, whereas it's not going down for other racial or ethnic groups. Accounting for that lower life expectancy is the increased number of overdose deaths from opioids. The overall number of deaths caused by opioid overdoses has quadrupled during the same period. Beyond opioids, cocaine was responsible for 13% of fatal overdoses in 2015, up from 11% in 2010. Heroin also accounted for 1/4 of the overdose deaths in that same year, only confirming what has been widely suspected about the increase of this ongoing opioid crisis in the United States. According to doctors, in recent years, prescription drug abuse has reached an all-time high, forcing drug makers, pharmacists, and physicians to crack down using certain methods like closer prescription tracking or tamper-resistant forms of medication so they can't be crushed or altered in any way. Reporting in New York, Trinity Chavez, RT.
Okay, so you guys heard that report from New York, and like she said, you know, it's not just hitting, you know, places like Virginia, you know, and you know, smaller rural places, you know, throughout the world. No, this is hitting big cities, states, here and also abroad. You know, like she said, you know, the other report was saying how, you know, Hampton Roads in Virginia is a hub as far as the location is concerned, because Florida and New York, you know, are, you know, areas, you know, just the location wise on the coast is able to be a place where a lot of traffickers are you know, coming in and bringing drugs and stuff like that. But, you know, what we were talking about before, you know, my father was saying prevention. You know, an ounce of prevention, you know, is what a lot of people, you know, say, you know, if we could work on prevention, you know, that would be ideal. You know what I mean? And part of prevention is awareness. That's what we're doing today. We're talking about awareness, you know, because, you know, you don't try to prevent something that you don't even know or you are unaware that there is a threat. You know, why would you board up your windows in your house if a hurricane is coming, yet because you don't and you don't know? Until somebody makes you aware that there's a hurricane coming to destroy in your neighborhood that has the possibility to destroy your home, you're not going to board up. But hopefully what we're doing today by sharing this information, it is a warning. It is a something to make you aware of the problem that is not only coming to your a place near you, it's probably already there, you know, doing, you know, its damage, you know, because it's not many places that this epidemic has not already hit. So we're just trying to, give you some awareness of the issue as well as some possible, things that you could do. And one of the things that I didn't mention last week, because there is such a skyrocket in the deaths, you know, people using, you know, heroin and other opiates and stuff of that nature, but it's mainly heroin. They have came out with a drug that they at one time it was only for use by like paramedics and doctors and stuff like that. The drug's called Narcan or Naloxone. Naloxone is the actual clinical term for it, but you know, or Narcan. Narcan is a reversal drug. You know, it can actually be used to save someone's life when they're overdosing off of heroin. And, you know, it's been used to save many, many people's lives. You know, and at one time, like I said, it was being used just by the professionals and the paramedics. But what people don't know is that it is accessible to people, you know, regular people in some states. You just need to know what your state laws are. You know, you need to know what your state laws are. Just like the Good Samaritan laws and the amnesty laws, you need to know the laws that are in your state about having access to these types of drugs. That actually, if you find someone or you have a loved one who is taking heroin, or is, you know, you know somebody that's taking heroin, and you know, you want to be prepared, you know, you want to prevent them from overdosing and dying, you know, I would try to find out from, you know, in your area, you know, what your, you know, your state's Naloxone and Good Samaritan legislation is. You know, you can find that. I put up something on our Facebook page, and you can go there, and I have a guide, and it actually, you know, you can find treatment, you can find information on your state laws, and you know, our Facebook page is Recovery J4T. That stands for Just For Today, Recovery J4T. On Facebook.com, and you know, that information is there. It comes from a guide that stays up to date and pretty you know, up to date on a lot of the information. You know, and so, you know, it's 26 states right now that have, you know, laws and access laws that, you know, concerning the drug Naloxone or Narcan can. And so, you know, these are things you need to know. They can save someone's life. So, you know, I wanted to mention that. I didn't mention it last time, and my father said it would probably be a good thing to mention, so I wanted to mention that. You know, what did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Well, no, I think that pretty much sums it all up. Again, that and the other item you talked about earlier about the Good Samaritan law, and what you just talked about, the Narcan, I believe it is, you said, those two things are worth bringing up this whole topic about a drug overdose. That information, in my estimation, is worth the effort we put in on these two episodes about drug overdose. Again, I would say to really try to we need to really try to catch the thing on the beginning end, and yeah, that's just about it.
Yeah, and to piggyback on what he was saying, maybe we'll go into, you know, prevention, you know, maybe in our next shows. But, you know, while we're here on, you know, somewhat on the intervention stage, and also I think what we're doing actually, you know, it could be, you know, considered part of the prevention stage, what we're doing as far as sharing this information. But also, you know, we want people to understand that there is, you know, If you know someone who's caught up in the grips of addiction like this, that you know they can recover. There is still hope for them. There is still hope for you. If you're out there listening and you caught up in the grips, you know, we want you to know that you can recover. And we, you know, we want you to try to get some help, you know, get you some treatment. You know, like I said, you know, there is help available for you. And, you know, on our Facebook page, you know, you can find some resources there. And if you, you know, if you tune in to us on Fridays, we'll try to share even more resources with you. You know, one thing I do want to say is this, you know, and I didn't share this last week. What I want to say is this, okay, you know, people are dying out there, you know, and, you know, some people are dying because people don't know what to do when a person begins to overdose. Okay, you know, me and my father were talking about this the other day, and, you know, it's so many myths out there of what to do, you know what I mean? It's so many, you know, all types of home remedies, if you want to call them, or wives' tales of what might work and what might not work for a person that's going into an overdose, you know. And some people, you know, they might try that kind of stuff, but other people just will leave you there, you know, to die, you know, and, you know, but what I want to say is, you know, in the case of a overdose, there are some things that you could do, you know, in the case, say, for instance, a cocaine overdose, you know, and, you know, first thing you want to do is, you know, call 911 right away and get emergency medical help. First thing, get emergency medical help. That's the first thing, you know. And then, that person can may be able to live by you just doing that, and that person getting some medical attention. You know, the other thing that you could do while you're waiting for the professional help to get there, you know, is maybe apply a cold press to their body, in temperature. You know what I'm saying, at a safe level. The other thing is, if the person is having a seizure, you know, make sure that there's nothing around them that they can, you know, hurt themselves, injure themselves, such as a sharp object or something like that. You know, you want to clear out all, you know, the hard objects from around them, anything with sharp edges, and most importantly, you know, outside of making the initial call, the most important thing is, you know, if you need to make sure that person is not alone when medical help arrives. You know what I'm saying? Don't just leave the person there. You know, don't just leave the person there. You know, and that's why, like I said, it's important for, you know, for you to know, you know, the amnesty laws and the Good Samaritan laws, because, you know, a lot of people leave because of the simple fact that they're afraid of being prosecuted for, you know, having drugs or whatnot, or, you know, whatever other activities might be going on. But like I said, you know, find out what the amnesty laws are and the Good Samaritan laws are for calling 911, you know, for the people in your, and, you know, above all, even if you don't know the laws, you know what I'm saying? Call for help. Call for help, you know, and that's one way to prevent somebody, you know, from dying, that doesn't need to die, you know. Did you have anything else you want to say? We got about 5 minutes.
Well, really, not a whole lot else, because you covered pretty much all we need to cover is right now about the subject. We talked about the Good Samaritan law, and we talked about the Narcan drug, and then you reiterated, well, that's a hard word to say. You went over what we should, or what a person should do if somebody's in a overdose situation, you know, and then, and they're, again, like you said, the most important thing is to call 911. I mean, that should be the first thing in every situation, you know, to call 911. Once you've identified that there's a problem, you know, you call 911. And then you, and like you said, to try to stay there, you know. I just would like to say to somebody tonight, if you're using, try to watch who you're using around. Watch, just don't go, you know, just be careful out there, because people will, for various reasons, they panic. When you get in those situations, people will panic because they don't want to get caught up in anything. They think they're going to go to jail, you know. So just be careful and try to be safe out there, you know. And we'll talk to you. Hopefully, God willing, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and I appreciate you all for tuning in. You know, thanks. Dad for, being a part of this. And, this is a very important topic for us. You know, we wanted to talk about this. You know, last year, my older cousin asked me when we lost my younger cousin last year, you know, due to this very same thing, my cousin, he called me and told me, share this. You know, he said, share this so that other parents don't have to go through this, you know. And he wanted me to share, you know, and to warn people, you know, because, you know, what we don't want is for people to, you know, have to experience this thing. Like I said, when I said a lot of people won't get involved until it hits home. I'm not talking about something that I don't know. You know, most people think, oh, that's just what's happening on the news or over there, or it doesn't affect me. And you're right. It doesn't affect you until it does affect you. You know what I mean? But, you know, the problem is that this thing is, when we say it's an epidemic, you better believe that it is a epidemic, you know. So, you know, hopefully, like my father said, there'll be more pushes and more movements for prevention, you know, because like they say, you know, an ounce of prevention goes a long way, you know? So, you know, starting off, like he said, you know, even, you know, when people are young, you know, but anyway, we'll talk more about that. We'll talk about more about that. But let's go ahead and close like we normally do. Like they used to say in those meetings I used to go to, they used to say, if all minds and hearts are clear, let's go ahead and close out. And we'll go ahead and close out. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Good night.
You all keep coming back. And don't pick up no matter what. God bless you.
Sadly, today most of us know at least one person that suffers from addiction or substance abuse. Addiction does not discriminate. No age, gender, race, or classes of people are immune to the horrors of addiction. This epidemic has ruined families, claimed lives, and left loved ones devastated. Over 100 people die from overdoses daily, and over 20 million Americans suffer from some form of addiction. For this reason, author Lloyd H. Bell Jr. has written the book Clean and Serene. The author is an addictions counselor and recovering addict of over 13 years. He knows and has firsthand experience of being caught in the grips of addiction. Clean and Serene provides experience, strength, and hope for the still suffering addict. It can also be